Welcome to the Personal Financial Planning Section podcast, delivering insights from experts on tax, retirement, estate, risk management, investment planning, and practice management, designed to help you best serve your clients and take your practice to the next level. I'm your PFP section host, Sarah Bradley. Be sure to visit us at aicpa.org/PFP and stay tuned at the end of the episode for information on how to access valuable resources. And now over to our guests.
Thank you, Sarah. This is Bob Keebler, and we're here today with Chris Hesse to talk about 461L of the Internal Revenue Code and the CARES Act. Chris is a partner with Clifton Larson Allen and currently the chair of the AICPA Tax Executive Committee. Welcome, Chris. So, Chris, this is a really big deal, and that's why we wanted to get your insight on it. What is the excess business loss provision under 461L, and how does it really work?
Yeah, how does it really work? So 461L came into the code with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, effective for years beginning in 2018. It affects just the individuals. And what 461L does is prevent people from deducting what they call excess business losses. And so if I'm a single taxpayer, I net on my individual return all of the business income and deductions, gains and losses that I have. And if that ends up, that netting process ends up being a loss greater than $250,000, I cannot deduct more than $50,000 on my individual return. The excess, the amount that I wasn't able to deduct, carries over to the next year as a net operating loss deductible in the next year. Now, on a married couple filing joint, you just double that and it's $500,000. There's been a lot of taxpayers that have gotten trapped in this because they may have had large capital gains on investment assets, thinking that, well, I'll be able to reduce my tax liability by having this large business loss that they might plan for, and find out that, well, it doesn't really work that way. But that's what 461L was designed to do.
So the limitations, single person 250, 500 married, you're basically suspending that excess loss for 1 year, and then it jumps over to an NOL?
It jumps over to an NOL. And in a lot of cases, it's just a one-year event, because in the next year, as a generic net operating loss, the person under the law that existed that was passed by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, the individual would be able to deduct that NOL, but limited to 80% of their taxable income. So the 80% limitation applied, but it was no longer treated as part of the business pile on which the excess business loss was calculated. And of course, that's all changed now as a result of the CARES Act.
Got it. Now, Chris, if someone was limited in the deductibility of a business loss in 2018, what do they do?
Well, as a result of the CARES Act, the 461L provision has been retroactively delayed. And if someone had a excess business loss in 2018, they need to amend their tax return to eliminate that excess business loss, free up all of the losses, but on the 2018 tax return. And that might even generate a net operating loss. And under the CARES Act, that net operating loss carries back 5 years. You have to carry it back to the fifth previous year first.
So I could then carry it all the way back to 2013?
That's the economic stimulus as Congress passed it in order to get the money back into the hands of the taxpayers to reinvest back into their business or to survive is giving these refunds from the net operating loss carryback back from 5 years previous. You may be too young, Bob, but there used to be a 5 year carryback provision a long time ago, but we haven't had 5 year carrybacks other than in emergency legislation for some time.
So, Chris, that's what the law says, but mechanically, how do you ask the government for that carryback and that refund? Like, what forms do you file?
Yes. This is the sad part right now, is even though we have these losses, we want the carryback. The government provides for the quick tentative refund claim on the individual return. That's a form 1045 that you report your net operating loss, calculate it on the 1045 Schedule A of the 1045, and then carry that loss back 5 years on the 1045. And the government is supposed to act on that form within a 90-day period of time. Problem is, the service centers aren't opening the mail right now. Because of the coronavirus, the staffing is such that the service center processing of paper returns has pretty much been stopped. And there's rumors of semi-truckloads of paper piling up at the service centers. Well, so the government created a fax line that you can fax your form 1045 to this fax line to the IRS. Limitations on doing that, of course, is they say 100 pages, no more than 100 pages in this fax. Well, problem is, for complex tax returns where you are attaching schedules K-1 that generated the loss and recalculated forms from the earlier year return reflecting the effects of this net operating loss carryback, you can easily get over 100 pages. But that isn't even the most difficult part right now, is in order to carry the loss back from 2018, if your 2018 return needed to be amended because of the delay now in Section 461L, I'm freeing up this excess business loss. I needed to amend my 2018 return. You can't file the 1045, the net operating loss carryback claim, until you filed your amended return for 18. And that can't be faxed. That has to be paper filed. But the IRS in the service center isn't processing tax returns right now. So we're in this conundrum of, I want to get my net operating loss claim in. I want to file my 1045. Government gives me a fax line to file my 1045. Oh, I can't do that yet because I need to amend my 2018 tax return first.
So I'm a little confused on this. So you're saying, brilliant move to open up a fax line for the 1045s and the 1139s. But before I can submit a 1045, I have to physically amend my 18 return and submit that by paper. But there's no way to submit that by paper. Is that what you just said?
That's what I just said. So the fax line works great if I didn't have an excess business loss on 2018. I actually had a net operating loss in 2018. Works great if I'm not wanting to amend my 2018 return for the glitch on the qualified improvement property, the technical correction fix. Of course, a lot of taxpayers have amended returns for that purpose on the 2018. So, although, as you say, brilliant opportunity for faxing a 1045, but a lot of the taxpayers to which that would apply need to amend their 2018 tax return for other purposes before they initiate that 1045 process.
Can't I just let that carry over to 2019 as it was on the original return?
You could, but it does require an election. It's under Section 172B3, the election to waive the net operating loss carryback. Now, so if maybe I didn't have high income in 13, 14, 15, that would give me a large refund benefit, and I expect future income to be at a higher tax bracket, it'd be a great decision if you had that crystal ball and your predictions come out, to carry that over to 2019, 2020. The net operating loss, the waiver to forego the net operating loss carryback is to be filed, this election statement is to be filed on the 2020 tax return, specifying which year you could have a net operating loss in 18 and also 19. But you'd specify which year your net operating loss, the waiver applies. It might be both.
Chris, in all of this, what else has changed with this provision?
The 461L, as we mentioned, was delayed. It's still there in the code. It wasn't repealed. It was originally passed in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act to be effective for the years 2018 through 2025. Now it just applies for 21 through 2025. So that was one change. Another change, though, and it's a technical correction fix, or they call it that, that in the original language of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, we all view wage income as business income. Congress apparently didn't intend that wage income be treated as business income for this purpose. Now, you picture, might have an individual, she's an orthopedic surgeon, has $1 million of W-2 income. Her husband has a business, married couple filing joint, he has $1 million of business loss on his on their joint tax return. In the 2018 year, we just merely offset those two because her business income from the W-2 is business loss, then netted, no limitation. For years 2021, beginning 2021, that wage income won't offset, the won't soak up the business loss that he has. And if they have that same fact pattern in 2021, she'll be, their joint tax return will reflect her W-2 income, $1 million, but his business loss will be limited to $500,000. It's indexed for inflation, so it's more than 500 that they'll be able to claim. There'll be nearly $500,000 of excess business loss in 2021 that will carry over as a net operating loss to 2022.
Well, Chris, we've covered a lot of ground today, and your analysis has been very insightful. On behalf of the PFP section, this has been Chris Hesse and Bob Keebler. If you enjoyed this podcast, we highly encourage you to visit the PFP section website and access additional information regarding the CARES Act. Stay tuned for Sarah Bradley, CPA, who will tell you how to find these valuable resources. Thank you for listening.
and thank you for sharing with our community of listeners. Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit aicpa.org/PFP and check out the show notes for this episode as well. So if you're not already a member, think about joining the PFP section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your financial planning practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like guides, 24/7 access to an online learning library, client communication and education tools, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to leave us a review so we can continue bringing valuable and relevant content. And subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to next time.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered, and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.